Good morning, everybody. Are you doing okay? If you have your Bibles with you, turn with me to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 50, as we look at our next third of the four servant songs, as they're called here in Isaiah, these songs that teach us about Jesus. The Old Testament is not at all lacking in teachings of Christ. If I ask you to turn to the Bible, a place in the Bible where Jesus is taught, most of us would turn to the New Testament, and nothing wrong with that, except that the early church that had no New Testament did not have that option. They had to turn to the Old Testament. Jesus is in the Old Testament. The volume of the book, it says in Hebrews and in Psalm 40, is written about Him. So it's all there, the whole thing, and we're reading here some of those things that teach us about Christ. Isaiah chapter 50, if you'll look with me there at the last two verses of the chapter, verses 10 and 11. It says, who is among you that fears the Lord? Is there anybody here who obeys the voice of His servant, that walks in darkness and has no light? So how is that possible? I thought obeying God and obeying the voice of His servant meant I always walk in the light. Well, no, there's no difference between us and the lost person. It's still dark out there. It's still dark. I mean, the world's still a dark place. The difference is whose hand I'm holding. I'm holding my own hand and it's dark. I'm going to walk off in a ditch eventually. But it's still dark out there, even though I'm a believer. But I have my hands in the one who knows where we're going. Not me. I don't know. In fact, if I think I know, then I'm holding my own hand. But I hold His hand, and even though it is still dark for me, it's certainly not dark for Him. And I can trust that hand, even though I can't see where I'm going. Let him notice that walks in darkness and has no light. Let him trust in the name of the Lord and rely on His God. It doesn't say He necessarily turns the lights on. He just says, you need to trust me. Keep holding my hand. Behold, all of you who kindle a fire, that is, if that's not good enough for you, and so you want to come up with your own light. Kindle your own fire, it says. Who encircle yourselves with firebrands, walk in the light of your fire and among the brands that you have set ablaze. Here's the problem. You will have this from my hand. You will lie down. You won't like how it turns out. You will lie down in torment. You won't like how it goes. There's a lot of people that have gone this week without lights here in the state of Texas, unfortunately. A lot of horrible things have happened. It's still taking place. I know that about 3 miles of my dad's house right now, Interstate 10, 6 feet of water over the top of Interstate 10. Don't try to go through Interstate 10 into Louisiana unless you've got a boat, because you're not going to make it. They've had some horrible things take place over there, lots of darkness. But there is a deception in being able to flip on the lights. And that's that we think because we have lights that we're able to see. They think because we have vision that we're able to comprehend, and that's not necessarily so. It's possible to have all the lights in the world and have great vision and still be in the dark. In fact, it is a common thing. And so we're reminded of that here in this time when people are so much without those things. It reminds me of a story of two Indians, speaking of storms and speaking of darkness and all the things that can't stop it. Two Indian chiefs were on the East Coast, the 1800s, and they were watching there on the coast of the Atlantic as they were constructing one more of these lighthouses like we have here in Port Isabel. Constructing a lighthouse, and they were talking among themselves what this was supposed to be, and they were being told that it was supposed to be able to defeat the darkness, defeat the fog. And so they watched this thing being built weeks and months as it went by. Finally, it's finished, and they were going to have the grand opening of this lighthouse. And so these two Indian chiefs went down to be a part of the grand opening. And so they had everything there. They had, you know, the light. They had the lens. They had it all focused. They had the bell. You know, they had a bell they would ring, and they had a horn they would blow, you know, and fall and stuff like that. And so they had all this ready to go. Everything was focused. Everything was ready to go. And the day that they were going to open up the lighthouse, or the day they opened up the lighthouse, the worst fog that anyone could remember rolls in off the Atlantic. And so the Indian chiefs just stand there, and of course, it just is what it is. And one Indian chief turns to the other. He says, see, I told you white men not know what he's doing. So what do you mean? He said, well, light shine, bell ring, horn blow, fog come in like it always does. Didn't stop it. It's the way it is where we are today. It seems we have a lot of lights shining, maybe more ever than ever in our society, maybe more than ever through our churches, at least seemingly so. Lots of bells ringing, lots of horns blowing, but more fog than we've ever had, it seems, in our world today. It tells us, when the lights go out, what do you do? Well, that's what Isaiah is talking to a group of people here in his book in chapter 50, speaking to the Jewish people who are headed to some dark days, and he's giving them advice what to do when the lights go out. So let's hear what he's got to say. What do I do when the lights go out? Well, the first thing I need to remember is one word, relationship. Relationship. The only hope that you have in the darkness, the only hope you'll ever have, whether you think it's dark or not, is a relationship with the Lord. You have no other hope outside of that. Relationship. You're never going to be smart enough to outwit the darkness. You're never going to know enough. You're not going to be educated enough. You don't have enough experience. I've been around enough. I've been taught enough. I've watched others. No, if others did right, it was only because they had the hand in the hand of the Savior, because of their relationship with Him. So underscore everything, if we learn nothing else from this, effectively, we need to understand this. It's my relationship with the Lord that makes the difference when the lights go out. It's my relationship with the Lord. Apart from that relationship, I'm in the dark. Oh, I know Jesus is a personal Savior. I've been following Him. Well, you're still in the dark, my friend. Only He is the light. And it's only as much as you're tied to Him and your hand is in His that you're walking in the light. It's possible as a Christian to walk in the dark because you're not following. Relationship. It's everything. And that's what He deals with here with the Jews. Notice what He says to them about their relationship. Thus says the Lord, where is your certificate of divorce? Speaking to the nation. By which I sent your mother away, or to whom were your creditors that I sell you? Behold, you were sold for your iniquities and transgressions. Your mother was sent away. He's saying, I don't remember us getting divorced here. I don't remember that. You're saying there's no relationship. I don't remember sending you away. Effectively, what he's saying is, there's a problem in the relationship. It's not me who's moved. It's you who's moved. You've moved. You've changed. Someone else is preaching. Throw it against that wall over there. It's hard cement.
Sorry.
Well, it's probably better. It's probably be better preaching than mine, right, Kathy? When the lights go out, we need to remind ourselves of all that we've ever had. All that you've ever had when you thought the lights were on is the relationship we have with the Lord. If the light seemed on to you, it's because your hand was in His. Don't ever think that you can do without that. Don't ever think that you can walk without that. I mean, you have good days, right? I have great days. Some days are just like everything clicks. I got it all figured out. Things seem to make sense. I think I see what God's doing. I think I understand the direction things are heading. It's like there's a bright day. It's like the light got switched on only for a moment, but it doesn't last. I don't have many of those days. And in fact, I've come to over time question some of the other days that I thought I was having, because what I thought was light back then really wasn't. I turned out to not be what I thought it was. God never gives you an opportunity to take your hand out of His and say, you know, I've got this all figured out. Thanks, God, for taking me this far. I've got it from here. I'll be fine. No, God will never put you in that situation. He's always putting you. What did you think, Kathy? Was it good? Mediocre preaching, so you're back for another shot? Okay. Never put you in a situation where He's going to cut you loose on your own, where you're going to figure it out by yourself. He's never going to put you there. He's always going to put you in a circumstance and continually more where you're more and more dependent upon Him and not the other way. Where you're more and more dependent upon the relationship you have with Him. When God makes it clear when there's a break in the relationship, it's not Him who moved. Reminds me of the story of an older couple riding down the road, and the husband was driving the car, so he's over here in the driver's seat, and he's working the steering wheel. And on the far side of the car, on the far side of the front seat, was his wife sitting up against the other door. There's like a 4 feet gap between them. They're riding down the road in silence. I meet another car coming. There's another couple in the other car, except that there's a difference between this couple and them. There was no light. You couldn't see a ray of light between this couple. They were sitting right next to each other. The husband was sitting there driving, and the wife was sitting right next to him. And so as the car drives by, the wife, the older couple, muses about how she wished. She says, "You know, I miss those days when we were young and we sat close to each other." And that's all she says. The husband doesn't say anything, but he puts his hand up on the steering wheel, looks over at him, and he says, "Well, I didn't move." That's the way it is in relationship with the Lord. You feel like God's not close to you. Well, you need to know something. He didn't move. He's not going to move. God bought you through the shed blood of his Son, Jesus Christ. That's an immovable thing. It does not change. You feel like there's a distance in your relationship. You need to know, as far as God's concerned, there's not. And I'm not saying there's things you shouldn't change or things you shouldn't improve, but your standing with God is through his Son, Jesus Christ, and his Son and what his works, the works he's accomplished for you, have not changed. They have been the same for 2,000 years. And whether you're walking correctly in those works or not walking correctly in those works has nothing to do with your relationship with him. He's faithful to you. He's faithful to the relationship, even though you may not be. So if you're looking for light in your own faithfulness, well, that light will go out. It really will. It's not where the light is. The light is not in your faithfulness. It's in his faithfulness. Can we all agree that we're fickle? We're just fickle. Some days I'm good and some days I'm not. And most of the time I can't really tell you why. Some days I feel good about stuff and some days I don't feel good about stuff. And I really don't know why. We're fickle. We really are. Oliver Cromwell, who took over the British throne in place of Charles I, established the Commonwealth of England, was in his office in his area where he ruled as king. And one of his associates, one of his best friends, was just all enamored by all the applause and all the praise that were being showered on him and all the things that people were saying, how awesome he was, Mr. Cromwell, and all this stuff. And anyway, this friend was just going on and on about how wonderful it was to be so loved by the people. And Oliver Cromwell stopped his friend and he says, "Don't be enamored by these people." He says, "These same people would be applauding and praising if they were leading me out to be hung. People are fickle. Don't trust it." God knows that. We're fickle. If my relationship with the Lord is dependent upon me and my faithfulness, then I guess I would have to be getting saved like 2 or 3 times a day, sometimes more. It's not dependent upon me. It's not dependent upon what I do. It's not dependent on how I feel. Don't look for the light in how you feel about your relationship. Your relationship with God, you may say, "Well, it's not going that well." Well, listen, as far as God's concerned, it is. He loves you. He's no further nor closer to you than he ever was. He has not changed. He has not moved. Because again, your relationship with him is dependent upon what Christ has done for you. Rely on the faithfulness of God. That's where your light is. Our love fades. It washes in and out like the waves. We're fickle. We're fallible. We're finite. And God is none of those things. God is the same. He's the same. He was the same on the days in which you could really feel him, and the day that you really, it felt great, and your experience with him was awesome. He's the same today as he was that day. You may not feel that close to him. It doesn't matter. He feels that close to you. That hasn't changed. Your relationship with him, it's his relationship with you. By the way, he's holding up both sides of this relationship. There's no 50-50 here. Yeah, I do my part and you do your part and then that's how things come together. No. There's no 50-50 deal. It's 100%. God unilaterally moved in your direction through his Son Jesus. It was his work. Salvation is his work. He rescued you. It's his work. He accomplished it. It was a decision he made all by himself. Nothing about you merited it. Nothing about it brought it about. God did this. That relationship doesn't change. That's where your light is. When the lights go out, that's where your light is. When the lights go out, secondly, rely upon not only the faithfulness of that relationship, but the faithfulness of God's Son. I want us to look first in verses 2 and 3. And then at verse 6, and this is the servant speaking all the way through. This is the servant, one of the servant songs, the third one. This servant who's none other than Jesus Christ, the coming Messiah. These are his own words prior to his incarnation. I want us to look and compare verses 2 and 3, what he says he's capable of, and then in verse 6, what he allows people to do to him. What he says he's capable of, and then what he allows people to do to him down in verse 6. Why? It says, was there no man, verse 2, when I came, when I called? Why was there none to answer? Is my hand so short that it cannot ransom? Of course not. Or have I no power to deliver? Of course not. Behold, I dry up the sea with my rebuke. I make rivers a wilderness. Their fish stink for the lack of water and die of thirst. I clothe the heavens with blackness, and I make sackcloth their covering. He says, I can do whatever I want. I'm not short in capabilities. I'm not short in knowledge. I'm not short in the opportunities that I have. I'm not short in anything. But notice, not short in anything, but what he allows, he can do anything, but what he allows people to do to him, verse 6. I gave my back to those who strike me, and my cheeks to those who pluck out the beard. I did not cover my face from humiliation and spitting. You understand, those things happened to him. He let them happen to him. Why? There was no other way to be faithful to you. That's why. How faithful he is to you. He's a guy that could do whatever he wants, however he wants, and yet he allows this to happen to him. By the way, a great example you have here of something that we can know from the Old Testament that we couldn't have otherwise known about Jesus. That Jesus had a beard. You realize that nowhere in the New Testament does it say Jesus had a beard? Now that's really a trivial thing, right? You say, well, I know Jesus has a beard because I got a picture of him right here in the front of my Bible, right? Don't tell me he doesn't have a beard, right? I already told you. They didn't paint any pictures or make any sculptures of Jesus for nearly 400 years after his death, burial, and resurrection. We haven't the foggiest idea of what he looks like. Not the foggiest idea, other than the descriptions we have in the scriptures. And nowhere does it say in the New Testament. We assume, because every man had a beard back then, that he had a beard, but nowhere does it say it in the New Testament. But it does say it right here. In fact, not only does it say that he had a beard, but it says that he let them pull it out. And we know that because of what it tells us in the Old Testament. So we don't learn about Jesus fully from the New Testament. We learn about Jesus fully from the Bible. The whole volume, as we've said before, the whole volume is written about him. I offered my back and my cheeks. In other words, he could have not done that. No one does that to God. He let them do that because he's faithful to you. That's where your light is. The light that we have every day is the fact that he's faithful. He is absolutely committed to us. How do we know it? Because of stuff like this. What he let them do. Because there was no other way to be faithful to us. He allowed it. He allowed them to do that. That's where our light is. It's not in our own faithfulness, not in our own feelings. Those things will go dark on any given day. Our light is in the fact that he has been to the darkest places of what it could possibly mean to be a human. The worst experiences there possibly is. He's gone there. He's come back. All for us. You say, why? I don't see what kind of deal God's getting out of that. Well, he's getting a deal out of it. He loves us. Look at his character. There's light in his character. Look at verse 7. Just the character of the Son of God. For the Lord God helps me, therefore, he says. This is Jesus speaking. Therefore, I am not disgraced. I have set my face like flint. In other words, I'm doing this thing. I'm accomplishing it. I'm going through with it. I'm going to finish it. I've seen it all the way through. I'm not stopping this process. The will of the Father is what I'm doing. If there's no other way to do it, then this is what's happening. I set my face like flint. If you're dependent upon your own feelings, your own performance, we set our face like spaghetti. Spaghetti's rigid now, I won't say that. When you get it out of the cabinet, it's pretty rigid, stiff and hard, right? But when you let it get in hot water, see, that's what happens. If your light is in your own performance, if your light is in your own faithfulness, if your light is in I'm doing what everything I know God wants me to do, if that's where your light is, then that light's going to go out. There's no light in our faithfulness. The light is in the faithfulness of God. The light is in the faithfulness of his servant. Servant who could have done anything. Could have stayed where he was, stuck with the program that he had already, instead of going with the program of the Father, But he did what he did because there was no other way to be faithful to us. He's faithful to us. There is light in that. Again, let's read verse 10. Light in his relationship, light in his faithfulness, light in his character. Again, who is among you, verse 10, who fears the Lord? I already asked that question, right? That obeys the voice of his servant, nonetheless, that walks in darkness and has no light. Happens. Let him trust in the name of the Lord and rely upon his God. That's where your light is. That's where your light is. There's nothing like darkness. Like I said, I'm telling the kids here, I hate darkness just because I already know what's out there. But I'm scared of the dark because I know what's out there. I know what can hurt me. So I prefer a flashlight. I prefer a nightlight. I prefer something I hate. I absolutely despise stubbing my toe. Anybody love just like breaking off your little toe on the corner of a piece of furniture because you didn't know where it was? Our bedposts are a little bit higher than my head. And if I don't round the corner on the bed going from the bathroom or around, if it's not light enough in there, I can just crack my head on the top of that bedpost. There's few things that make me madder than that. Because it's just like, of course it's there. It's always been there. But because it's dark, I cannot see. And now I'm hurt as a result of it. It's terrible to be in the dark. It's even worse to be blind. Blindness is a tough thing. I want us to do a little blind practice just to be reminded of what it means. Because sometimes we don't realize the difficulties that people experience that have that disability. I want you to shut your eyes for just a minute. I'm not going to pull any tricks on you. Just shut your eyes for just a minute. I want you to imagine just the darkness that could be, and of course, you got eyelids that are thin, and so these lights are bleeding through, but nonetheless, this is as close as we can get. Shut your eyes just for a second to imagine. Don't go to sleep on me. Just imagine what it means to be blind. And I want you to imagine what it would be like for an older person or a person who has to figure out what medication they're supposed to take when you can't see. It's tough. Try to figure out which button on the microwave to push. Even sighted, I have a hard time. Which one is it? Now that you can't see, it's a tough thing. You can open your eyes again. It's a short lesson. But I say that because it's tough to have no light. It's tough to not be able to see. You know, there is an app now for that. Did you know that? There's an app now for blind people. It's called Be My Eyes app. And what this app is, you can get it on any smartphone. And what this app does is that once you've downloaded, and I think you have to pay for this app, by the way, I don't think it's free. Once you've gotten it onto your phone, when you hit the app, it enables a remote operator to access the camera on your phone. In other words, they're able to see through your phone, through the camera on your phone. So if I'm a blind person, and I'm standing at the corner of a intersection, and I don't know what the sign says because I can't read it, I mean, for crying out loud, it's not in Braille, and it's going to be up there high anyway, even if it was in Braille. I can hit the app and aim my phone's camera at the street sign, and someone on the other end can tell me, oh, you're a Johnson, you're the corner of Johnson and Smith Street. Isn't that cool? You're headed north, you're headed south. You literally, it's like a seeing eye dog. There's a hole in the road you're about to step in. I mean, it's this incredible app. I saw it demonstrated, or I shouldn't say it, didn't see it. I heard it demonstrated. And what the guy was doing, this was a person who didn't have vision. What the guy was doing was he was going through his refrigerator, and he was trying to determine if the carton of milk that he had was expired or not. Of course, the only way to truly tell, you know, of course, is to chug it. He didn't want to do that. And so he turns on the app. The guy comes on and says, how can I help you? And he says, I want to know if my milk has expired. And so he says, lower it. And then it goes quiet on the other end. He says, I wouldn't drink that if I was you. Isn't that cool? Do you know that as believers, as human beings, that we're blind? You're blind. You're blind. Becoming a Christian doesn't mean that you see on your own. Oh, yeah, you see. But you have an app now. You see, I've got a Savior whose hand that I hold, hopefully, every single day. He sees for me. He tells me what I'm supposed to be. He tells me which way to turn. It's not like, okay, now you're saved, Bill. Go out there and figure it out on your own. That's not how it works. Saved doesn't mean that you see by yourself. It means that you see through him. I see through him. He's my counselor. He's my guide. He's my app. He's the one that sees for me. He's my eyes, you see. But only when I use him, I become convinced that I'm doing okay. Yeah, and that's when the lights go out. I'm convinced that I don't need him on a day-to-day basis. That's when the lights go out. I become convinced that I've got it figured out, or my education or my experience or whatever it is. I'm okay. He needs to help those who are really in bad shape, right? I'm never anything but in bad shape. Never anything but bad shape. He's my eyes. I got to keep my hand. I got to remember a relationship. I got to remember his faithfulness. I got to remember the fact that he's could have done anything that he wanted, but he's done all this for me. I got to remember that I have nowhere to go. Nowhere to go but to him. I want to ask if you would bow your heads and close your eyes with me as we reflect on what God has said to us this morning. You know, you've trusted Christ as personal Savior. You've got the app. You've got the eyes, but they're not yours. They're not yours to do whatever you want to with. And they certainly won't do you any good if you're not accessing them. Walking off on your own when the lights go out, you need to remember one word: relationship. Relationship. Things seem dark because they are dark. They really are. I've never been anything but that. And anytime there's been light, anytime it's been like you could see, it was actually him seeing for you. Return to that relationship. God, we need to return to our relationship with you. We need to put our hand right back in yours right now. Right now, we need to say to you, Jesus, I'm putting my hand back in yours. Right now, we need to say, Lord, you're my eyes. You're the one that knows. Forgive me, Lord, for walking off by myself. Forgive me, Lord, for trying to find light in my ability to do things. My light is in how faithful you are, what you are willing to give up. My light is in your character, not my character. My light is in your eyes that see, because mine can't. Thank you so much, Lord, for being those things for us. We commit ourselves again to you, Lord. We need you. Forgive us, God, for thinking that we didn't. Convince us, God. Convince us, God, that we need you, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.